104.5 The Zone, Yadier Molina, 2,000 games with one team. Not in one day. That would have been a record. Although it still was a record. Will Bowling, he'll give you those baseball bits of news and notes and those top-of-the-hour headlines.
Boom.
He also likes oatmeal cream pies. You might have guessed that because Will is 73 years old.
I am appalled to walk into this studio and hear that someone doesn't like oatmeal cream pies.
So Nick Saban,
I didn't even know that was an opinion.
Nick Saban eats oatmeal cream pies two a day. That's what we were told. My buddy Scott Curry texted me. They're awful. Dawn loves them. Babs loves them.
Love them.
I didn't know anyone didn't like them.
My dream is the massively large oatmeal cream pie from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, the movie. Like, that would be my dream, to have that just sitting in my backyard.
You're making me really hungry. That sounds great.
At HeHateV on Twitter, oatmeal cream pies are top three Little Debbie snacks. I've been hooking up with them since I was five. Suzanne Brent is wrong.
See? There you go.
Ben said, put up a poll. By the way, I'm all team Davenport on this one. Oatmeal cream pies are the goat. Sorry, at Brent Doherty.
I used to not like them. Because,
but then you got older.
Well, because as a kid, I was like that stubborn little you-know-what who wouldn't try them. And then once you try them, you're like, oh, wow, these things are legit. It's like Brussels sprouts.
Oatmeal cream pies or moon pies?
You made that trip to Resting Acres, and they just had them sitting there on the desk. And so you tried one.
Which
I
one?
I feel like it.
Oatmeal cream pies or moon pies?
Both.
I don't like either one of them.
Oh, my gosh.
And moon pies are a national staple. I get that.
Yeah, they are.
And s'mores, too. I don't like them either.
Goo Goo clusters?
Don't like Goo Goo clusters.
Oh, are you from here?
I'm not a dessert guy,
sure
though. Let me establish that. I don't like pies, which everybody, like,
okay,
I'll get
I'm
hit
with. You
with
on that.
You're a communist if you don't like pies.
Hot
I don't
fruit.
Like apple pie. I don't like cherry pie. I don't like blueberry cobbler. I don't like peach cobbler. I don't like any of that.
Fruit was meant to be cold, not hot.
Jeff,
is bad.
I'm with Brent. Pass on oatmeal cream pies. Give me the Star Crunch or strawberry shortcake rolls.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Oh, wait. Here's his money line.
For that reason, I'm out.
Here's his money line. This from Jeff Ranger. Oatmeal cream pies are bunk.
Does that mean good or bad?
You don't know what bunk is?
No.
Oh, it's the best word ever.
You're so 3HL if you know what that word
is. I was going to say,
that's a
promo.
I have to be a
go
certain
find
age
it.
To know.
Hey. Okay. No.
Yeah, you're the head of digital everything.
It's a millennial word.
No, it's
not.
Kidding.
I don't know it.
No, it's not.
No, it's actually right up your alley. It supposedly is some old word that I thought was a new cool
Yeah, like
word,
when the Queen of England was born, they were using that word.
So this is something I should use then.
Yes.
Since I'm 23 going
probably.
On 84.
Jody, oatmeal cream pies are awesome. So are Almond Joys. Stop sucking up to the host.
Yes, Jody.
Almond Joys.
That's me. That's a me thing.
Really?
Yeah. I'm obsessed
See?
With them.
For that
I
reason,
them.
I'm out.
Tennessee Vintage Baseball. Oatmeal cream pies have to be jumbo-sized so you get proper oatmeal/cream ratio.
That is a great point.
Hashtag life tip.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, the jumbo size? Yes.
Well, I know it's
They're
a thing, but
good.
Like, are they that much better?
I think so.
D on Twitter. Oatmeal pies are for the senior citizens.
Oh, dang.
That, I mean, like, I'll raise my hand and claim that.
You claim that because you're young. That's like a dagger to the heart for me.
If I have to be old to like oatmeal cream pies, then I'm ancient.
Yeah.
Dad Bird on Twitter, oatmeal cream pies are trash. I would eat shellfish before I would eat oatmeal cream pie, and I'm deathly allergic to shellfish.
Oh, gosh.
Wouldn't recommend
that.
It's
a strong statement.
Coach Q says you need to make it into a double-decker. That's how much he likes.
That's hardcore.
Brad says Brent is right. Star Crunch, zebra cakes. Zebra cakes are awesome. Mm. I will say that.
That was the best
Swiss cake rolls
lunch ever.
Swiss
Mom
cake
gave
rolls
you a
good.
Zebra cake to go with your lunch. Oh.
Yep. Peanut butter bars for the win. Hashtag not bunk. All right. We put up a poll at 3HL1045 because why not? I mean, Nick Saban likes them, so maybe that's why I don't like them. Guy wins too much. Can't he retire? Isn't he tired of this yet, Dawn?
You're talking to an Auburn alum who would give anything for Nick Saban to retire from a fandom perspective.
I would think that you would want him to keep coaching so you could just beat him more. Look at this look she's giving me, Bully.
I'm like, the guy that beat him is gone.
Oh, yeah.
Brent, you deserve that look.
Gus Malzahn.
Yeah.
He could beat him.
He's now putting Hugh Freeze up billboards in Gainesville.
There's only two guys that could beat him.
I love you bringing me into arguments between you and Don, and knowing that I'm still going to take Don's side, especially on this one.
Yes. <Yeah. laughs>
You're not helping yourself.
I like it when people double team me. Wait a minute.
I'm going home.
I didn't mean that. Yeah. Mr. Caples, yep. Fudge rounds are the best little Debbie cake, then oatmeal cream pie. Hashtag jumbo me, please. All right.
It's still up there.
So you can weigh in on Twitter at 3HL1045.
I'm
ready for Nick Saban to go on. I'm ready for Jadeveon Clowney to keep talking because it's making me more and more mad at him. Do we have the audio from Jadeveon Clowney?
We have the soundbite that annoys the mess out of me today.
Annoys the mess out of you?
Yeah, that's okay. Me trying not to cuss and lose my job on 3HL on this Wednesday.
You said yesterday, I'm an open mic away from being fired, which was a great quote. And Will Bowling's got all these cameras in the studio, dude.
Oh,
and they're all going live tomorrow.
I know.
There's even one on me.
There's one on Leviticus.
You better watch your hand gestures in there, Leviticus.
Oh, I have today.
I closed the camera off for today, at least until tomorrow.
Well, so I was of the opinion, like, look, if because remember Mike Jannetty from Spot Track said, hey, Clowney's worth about $6 million on a one-year deal.
Right, and you were like, awesome, bring
him back.
I'd
do it as a rotational player.
Put him back on the Titans. To which, what did I say? I said, I don't know how I feel about that. I kind of have some what was the word I used?
Anxiety?
No, well, I do have that, but no,
in general.
It'll come to me. Oh my gosh, what did I say? Mom brain?
Yeah.
Hostile? I don't know. Anyway, I'm
normally I would save you, but I'm enjoying this.
Yeah, come on, can you help me? I'm frustrated with you because of what you gave. Or were able to give, and I get he wasn't healthy, but I'm frustrated with what you actually produced for this Titans franchise. Because when the news came that he was signing with Tennessee, I thought it was going to be a game changer for the Titans. And I understand that his thing is not sacking the quarterback.
He's not a sack master. We knew that.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. So the sack numbers aren't what I look at, which is zero. That's not what I'm talking about or looking at. It's, you know, we talk so much about how he was a disruptor and all that. Well, guess what? He played 8 freaking games. That's it. And he wasn't healthy at all. And that's not necessarily on him, obviously. But I there's some anger there, I would think, if you're a Titans fan, for what you actually provided to this franchise last year in your prove-it deal. Well, now, guess what? Here's another prove-it deal. $8 million a year, up to $2 million in incentives. So you're looking at a possible $10 million
deal. I mean, isn't
that
crazy?
Crazy. And then he had the nerve to say this today when he was asked about why Cleveland and what he knew about Cleveland and why this was like the move for him.
Yeah, they winning. They got a great team. They are definitely on a winning team. You saw they won 12 games last year, right? More than what my team I played for won last year, I think. Nah, but I just think they got the
funny guy.
I like this division for one. I think it's a great competition. Great, like I said, I get to play with great players beside me. That was one of my other decisions. I've decided the guys beside me always going to be a help whoever I play with. So. Me and them two decisions was whoever I'm going to play with. So,
all right, that's all I need.
That was basically
You don't need the ceiling. There's no ceiling.
It's not in
that
bite. It was a different bite.
There are footprints on the moon, he said.
Oh, we'll get into that. But first, let's address this.
I love that quote.
Let's address this first. How many games did they win? 12. That's more than my team I played with last year won. Really? Yeah, because you only played in 8 of those games. Oh, and by the way, maybe if you were more effective and did more and did what they signed you to do, maybe they would have won more than 11 games.
11's pretty good.
No kidding. That's the other annoying part of the entire comment.
Especially when your defense.
That's what they probably would have been at 12. When your defense sucks. Was that bad and you contributed 0. What a clown.
I mean, he is. Clowny. He puts the clown in Clowny.
Sure does. Am I totally overreacting to comment?
I mean, you get mad about stuff, so Clowny saying, taking a shot at the Titans on the way out the door. Like, I mean,
And he didn't even say Titans. I mean, the team that I was on last year. Like, the team that you were on last year went out on a limb and gave you a chance after you came off of, you know, a questionable injury and surgery and all of that. And they were also pretty patient with you deciding on where you were going to go take your talents and pretty patient on when you showed up.
Yeah, he made me nervous because I had that story. And it took him a couple days to...
I think you had it on a Friday.
I had it on a Friday.
You reported it on our show.
Yep.
You felt very good about it, but then...
Oh, I knew it was happening.
But then it didn't officially come out until that Monday, right?
Right. So then, like, people that are even friends with me and work with me were taking shots at me on Twitter. Or worked with me.
I wouldn't... Yeah. I was like...
There's two separate categories.
Okay.
Well, I didn't mean it like that. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I mean.
But anyway, so it took him a couple of days. So at that point, like after you break a story and then it takes a minute to happen, you start thinking.
You start worrying.
I wonder if he changed his mind.
Which is.
Because clearly that guy is capable of anything.
What would have happened with him?
They were 5-3 in the games in which he played. 5-3. So thanks for the time, Clowney. Tennessee legend, Davion Clowney.
When I was looking for the words, I just checked my text, and I've got like 5 million of words that I was trying to find. And one of them is PTSD, hostility, buyer's remorse. Yes, yes, yes. All of those.
So there's a singer-songwriter named Natalie Himby. I've said this many times. If you have a chance to go to an event where she is performing, go do it. She is immensely talented in terms of songwriting, but also has an amazing voice, and she's really funny, like in telling the stories of the song. She's really funny. She calls it momnesia, not being able to remember things after having a child.
I feel like that's what I have going on. Like,
you also developed allergies.
I developed allergies, which is why I had to do the show on Zoom, last two weeks ago? I wasn't allowed in the building. Even though a COVID test was negative, but that's a different conversation.
Well, I mean, you included our boss in a text that you were going to go get a COVID test.
I know, and I shouldn't have. And also,
you should have hidden it. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I should have hidden it. And also, all of a sudden, now my hair is curly. It used to be straight as a board, and now it's curly. So.
And everybody will see that when you're on camera tomorrow.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Are you just going to keep makeup here? Is that what's going to happen?
I don't know what I'm going
to
do.
Should I get some from Neil Warren to like soften the glow of my forehead?
Yeah, you might need to powder that forehead there.
Buck Rising wants to get the couch behind me removed from the studio.
I mean, I will say that there are some stories about that couch and who and when it has been slept in over the years.
Yeah.
And Downtown's not that far, right?
I'm just going to pipe in and say that no one's throwing that couch away. Just let me have it. If we're like really going to get rid of it?
Because it's really comfy.
Well, yeah, it's
better. I lay down on that thing all the time. And I'm really like, if Dateline came in and did one of those blacklight exposés and ran it on that couch, I don't know what happens. But
yeah.
Jordan on Twitter, how many sacks did me and Clowney have last year? And he's got a picture of a zero bar, which is, by the way, is my favorite candy bar. We'll be right back. 3HL 104.5 The Zone. 3HL 104.5 The Zone. Had my headphones
on the highway.
Turned down. You going to sing some more?
Maybe.
You might get a job in Las Vegas. You can get a residency.
That's right.
Todd Furman's. Stage.
He can be my
hotel.
Backup singer.
Oh. Furman, you want that gig? Backup singer to Don Davenport at a residency in Las Vegas?
Absolutely not. Backup dancer, we got a deal. Backup singer, probably not. But Don, with a voice like that, I'm sure the Peppermill Lounge would be happy to have you at about 3 a.m. on Wednesday on the overnight.
Nice.
I have no idea what the Peppermill.
Me either, but now I'm going to have to Google it.
Is, but well, it sounds awful.
No. It's the Peppermill's legit. It's not in the best of areas, but it's a 24-hour diner that is a fixture for folks that are looking for late-night eats, and encourage anybody that comes out to Vegas that hasn't been to go check that spot out. I'm trying to think what movie it was in. I want to say it was featured in Swingers, but I could be wrong, getting all my Vegas movies confused.
By the way, to the younger end of the 3HL demo, that movie is a must-see, Swingers. It's phenomenal.
Tremendous movie from those guys. When you look at how young Vince Vaughn is, it makes me realize how old the rest of us have become.
No question. So you said it's in a not a great part of Vegas. Like, I think, like, my vision of Vegas is there are no great parts in Vegas. Like, my wife watches that addiction show. I forget what it's called. It might be called that. And then, like, Dateline Mysteries, they're all in Vegas.
Well, I mean, it all depends. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. There's great spots to go in Nashville, but if you wander off the beaten path, you can get yourself into trouble. There are spots where I would encourage people to go, and there's plenty of areas where I'd say, you know what, you might want to stay away from there, whether it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon or 1 o'clock in the morning, unless that's your type of scene, and if so be it, who am I to sit here and judge what people are after when they come out to Vegas for a weekend and hope they get on the plane going home with things that they can leave at McCarran Airport.
Todd Furman, our guy in Vegas, at Todd Furman on Twitter. Bet the Board podcast. Check that out. I'm talking sports gambling when we get to that. Hey, we had an unexpected debate earlier. Came out of nowhere. Actually, it came out of Nick Saban loves oatmeal cream pies, which I can't stand. I think they're the devil's food. And Don loves them.
And he's wrong. Yeah.
Don loves them. And I thought, Todd, that the listening audience would agree with me. She thought that the listening audience would agree with her. How do you think this poll is coming down? What percentage of people do you think like oatmeal cream pies, and what percentage do not?
I feel the majority like oatmeal cream pies. I mean, I was telling Leviticus before we jumped into the segment, I'm not a huge sweets guy at this point in my life, but I was a fan of the occasional oatmeal cream pie back in the day. But honestly, depending on how this poll turns out, you guys may need to come up with a power ratings for Little Debbie snacks. And if you ultimately do that, I'm putting Nutty Bars as number one, well above everything else in the Little Debbie family.
Ooh, Nutty Bars the favorite. Huh?
Swiss cake rolls are pretty strong.
Yeah.
Zebra cakes are strong.
I always feel like Swiss cake rolls I got when they were a little bit stale, so they're crunchy on the outside, and you go, oh, this is a little bit overrated. So I can't give you Swiss cake rolls in the number one spot.
All right, here's the poll. 83% of people agree with Babs. They love oatmeal cream pies. 83%.
That's a lot higher than I would have expected. I mean, I would have said it probably in the high 50s and felt that was a fair number. I'm kind of blown away by 83%.
All right, Major League Baseball, Will Bowling is in studio. He's a big Braves fan, and Don Davenport's a big Braves fan. Do they have any hope?
I mean, they do have hope, but I think you have to try and figure out what's going on with some of these young pitchers. You obviously want Mike Soroka out there healthy, being able to eat up innings. You want to figure out what that bullpen is going to look like, and if Will Smith is ultimately going to be the closer when the games start to matter more. And, of course, a little bit troubling when you're trying to figure out what's ailing Max Fried, at least through a couple starts. But this is baseball. This is what we all fall victim to, that after watching 10 to 12 games, you want to hit the panic button, or in the case of Detroit Tigers fans, you believe that, hey, look, all of this rebuild is going to pay dividends. The reality for right now, though, I think everybody is playing for second place. This Dodgers team, when you watch them like I do, pretty much on a night-in, night-out basis, I can't find a weakness anywhere in their lineup. And if they're going to get good pitching from their bullpen, which was potentially their biggest weakness coming into the season, Corey Knebel looks like he's more than capable of filling in if Kenley Jansen falters and Blake Treinen. Forget about trying to hit him in the eighth inning. So I think all of Major League Baseball playing for second place.
Well, I mean, how many times are we going to send baseballs to the commissioner's office from Dodger pitchers?
Well, I mean,
this is coming from an Astro fan.
Yeah, exactly. It's all relative. I mean, the one thing I look at, Brent, it's easier for Major League Baseball to send baseballs to the commissioner's office because of the shipping and handling. It's a lot more expensive when you send trash cans.
I love it. All right, so you don't want to give, like, it's not Dodgers Red Sox after 10, 11 games.
No. I mean, I look at the American League, and I think there's clearly going to be a heck of a lot more drama there than what you're going to see in the National League. Now, in a short series, hey, look, anything's possible. And when you look at a team maybe like the Brewers, if Brandon Woodruff and Corbin Burns pitch as well in October as they're pitching right now, then sure, they could be a difficult out. But the Dodgers are awfully scary, and they remind me a lot of the best Yankees teams we saw in the late 90s when, hey, look, those were the best teams that money could buy. And this coming from a Yankees fan who understand having deep pockets goes a long way. But when you look in the American League, I mean, if you ask me to pick the best team right now, honestly, I have no clue. I don't buy the Red Sox pitching staff at all. I think the Blue Jays have some major questions after Hyunjin Ryu, although Julian Merriweather has been good at the back end of their bullpen, so I've been impressed there. The American League Central, I picked the Twins before the year. Not going to waver from that. I think Jose Berríos is a true top-line starter, which none of the other teams in the division have, other than maybe the Indians with Shane Bieber and the White Sox with Lucas Giolito. And the American League West, I mean, who knows what you're going to get there. I mean, you could pick every team, not name the Mariners and Rangers, and I'd feel comfortable with them coming out of there.
Kyle has a question. Ask Todd about NRFI bets, please. No run first inning.
It's an interesting betting market and one that's really growing in popularity because people want that quick fix. And so what better way than instead of committing 3+ hours to watching a baseball game, then hoping if you're betting the yes that the leadoff hitter puts the ball into the seats and you cash your ticket right away, or if you're betting the no that you can avoid, you know, a leadoff double or a costly walk. So that's a betting market that's really grown in popularity. The pricing has gotten significantly sharper over the years. We used to exploit it about 4 to 6 years ago, but there's not really the same mathematical edge now in 2021 that there used to be.
Todd Furman with us in Las Vegas, at Todd Furman on Twitter. Todd, I'm really not down with the whole debate about Edelman making the Hall of Fame or not. No Pro Bowls, no All Pros. So you can kind of tell where I stand there. But odds that Edelman makes the Hall of Fame, what do you think?
I mean, you give me any price, I'll lay the no. That it's not going to happen. And you look at it, I mean, I think we remember him on some of the biggest stages and what he meant for stretches for the Patriots offense. It's tough for me to say that my fellow tribesmen, because we don't have a lot of Jewish members of the NFL Hall of Fame getting in there, but Julian Edelman, a Patriots Hall of Famer, but he will not be getting his bust in Canton anytime soon, in my opinion. And I think the best parallel I've seen out there, when a guy like Hines Ward can't get in, I mean, it's going to make it that much tougher for Julian Edelman. So great career, but not Hall of Fame worthy.
I got to keep Dawn away from Jadeveon Clowney. She said he puts the clown in Clowney.
Ugh.
Browns win total. Did they improve with him? He said, you know,
in all 8 games he played last year.
He said in terms of the ceiling, their footprints on the moon, right?
Did I not tell you guys going into the season that if you were going to expect Jadeveon Clowney to take that Titans defense to a place that it hadn't been, everyone in that fan base is being a little bit delusional. Clowney at this point in his career isn't an elite pass rusher. And when you look at the 1-year deals that he's getting, there's a reason that nobody's making a long-term commitment, whether it's his durability or anything else. He's good at setting the edge in terms of stopping the run. But the thing about the Browns last year, sure, they finished the season 11-5 during the regular season, but point differential, they were negative in that department. So if you dig into some of the advanced metrics and try and figure out what their true record should have been, it was a lot more like a 500 football team. Kevin Stefanski is an excellent coach, but the fact that this organization doesn't feel like they know if Baker Mayfield is going to be their guy, I think the Browns are poised to take a step back. So when I look at their win total, my early lean is under. Tough to make full assumptions there, though, because we know the 17 opponents that these teams are going to play, but we obviously don't know the weeks that they're going to encounter and what those schedule nuances will look like.
As we watch the NFL draft, how much of an impact will some of these quarterbacks make on some of the, like San Francisco, for example, at 3, they take whoever they take. Does it make that much of a difference?
It's not going to change anything. I mean, if Mac Jones or Justin Fields or Trey Lance gets drafted by the 49ers at 3, none of those guys in their rookie seasons are going to be upgrades over a healthy Jimmy Garoppolo under center. So I think for fan bases, it's where hope springs eternal. They want to know that their teams have drafted a franchise quarterback that's going to be relevant a couple of years down the road. Sure, Justin Herbert was outstanding for the Chargers, but let's not ignore the fact that they still finished 7-9 and had absolutely no impact on who was going to win the Lombardi Trophy. The same thing applies to the NFL draft. It's fun to talk about. We'll have plenty of prop numbers available, but it won't impact win total, Super Bowl odds, or divisional odds.
Even for the Jags.
Even for the Jets. I mean, we know Zach Wilson will be their guy. I think it's a step in the right direction.
No, I said Jags.
Been removed from your brain, the Jags?
No, they have not been removed. Maybe it's the shoddy connection that we have between Las Vegas and Nashville. but when you look at the Jags, their win total is going to be bumped up. I mean, the reality of it is it was a 1-15 team last year. You're going to have a first-year head coach, a first-year quarterback. You have to be optimistic about what the Jags are doing going forward if they have a good draft. But let's not kid ourselves. They're still going to be the third best team in that division at absolute best if we assume that the Texans continue to be a dumpster fire. Oof. And their win total in that 5.5, 6.5 range, I'm not running to go over. I don't think you can wave a magic wand for a team that young and expect good things in Urban Meyer's first trip around the sun as an NFL head coach.
Sneaky C has a question for Todd Furman. Ask Todd, did anyone get rich on Matsuyama?
I don't know about rich, but there were definitely a couple of bettors out there that were able to cash tickets in that 50-1 range. It was one of the better decisions, though, for sports books. I know when we talked last week, a couple of the guys, I said they created liability. Justin Thomas and, of course, Jordan Spieth. Spieth had odds of upwards of 66-1. And to be honest, he didn't disappoint at all in his performance overall over the course of the 4 days at Augusta. It just didn't make sense to back him at 10-1. So Hideki Matsuyama, not a fan favorite, but how quickly we forget, since 2017, the guy had been looking for a win, and at one point in his career, he was the number two ranked overall golfer in the world. Great for the country of Japan, and it's always good to see some unfamiliar names win these major tournaments.
Does one game affect odds? Tampa Bay throttled by the Predators last night.
Well, I'm pretty sure I might have been an upgrade in net over Curtis McElhinney. So, no, it doesn't change anything that we've seen. If Andre Vasilevsky's out there and the Preds are able to score four goals in two periods on a robust shot total of nine, then sure, we might be talking about Nashville's resurgent offense. But that was just a day off for Vasilevsky. It will not change our overall outlook on the Central. The one injury, though, that may, and I think this could hurt Florida if it lingers, losing a guy like Carter Verhaeghe could hurt a team that depth was one of their strengths coming in. I don't think it's going to impact Nashville in the four spot, obviously, but we'll see how far the Panthers fall in that pecking order. I want to see the Hurricanes win the division. I'd love to see Florida and Tampa matched up in the first round.
What do you think about the Preds? With what do they have, 13 games left, 113 out of 16? Are they going to hold on to that four spot?
I mean, honestly, no reason to believe why they wouldn't hold on to that spot at this point. Nothing we've seen from the Dallas Stars, who earlier today ruled out Alexander Radulov and Ben Bishop for the season, leads me to believe that they can put together a sustained winning streak. Columbus, we know, has already gone through the fire sale. Detroit, they're going to be a pest to deal with down the stretch. I actually like the way that they've played, but they're not relevant. And the Blackhawks, I mean, I just don't see enough from them on a nightly basis to think that they can catch the Preds. So as long as Nashville beats the teams that they're expected to beat, you get the occasional upset like they had last night against Tampa, even when the Lightning are playing their backup goalie. I think this is a team that we all wrote off for dead that suddenly is at least going to get into the tournament. Now, how far they can go, I think that's a leap of faith. But that key stretch will be, what, starting next Monday, I believe, they play the Blackhawks for three straight games. Mm-hmm. If the Preds are able to take 4 of 6 points in that trio in regulation, I think they'll be in great spot.
Todd Furman, at Todd Furman on Twitter. NASCAR, going to Richmond, what do you think?
I'm a little bit bitter. Last weekend, I had a ticket on Denny Hamlin, had the best car for most of the day. It was passed late by his teammate, Martin Truex. Those two guys, co-favorites. I'll begrudgingly go back to the 11. I think when you look at Denny and how he's performed in both Martinsville and Richmond, two tracks in his home state, that would be the direction that I would focus on. But going to be interesting. I mean, this is a big race, and we're talking about a short track before we head off to Talladega where anything can happen next week.
How do you bet NASCAR, Todd, just personally? Do you just bet winner?
With a lot of brown liquor in hand, knowing that bad beats are inevitable with a late caution. No. So when it comes,
that was the best answer ever you've ever given.
When it comes to NASCAR, there's a variety of betting markets and ways to take advantage. And I'm sure we can get into this a little bit more when NASCAR makes its maiden voyage back to your neck of the woods later in the season. But the outright market is going to be the most difficult to forecast. That's where you have to pick the winner. And you don't want to go in just betting one driver. You want to kind of build a portfolio where you can bet some of the favorites, bet some of the value. And earlier this year, if you had the foresight to pick a long shot or two, it could have paid quite handsomely. The head-to-head market is probably the most straightforward. Which driver will finish higher between driver A and driver B? Typically, those drivers that are matched up there in the same skill set amongst the same teams. You won't see a guy, you know, that's truly elite and a co-favorite for the race against somebody that's 100-1. And then you have group matchups as well, where it's, you know, one driver in a group of four that you can bet at some advantageous prices. A little more difficult to pick that, though, than people think. But those are the three main ways that people look to bet NASCAR.
Are you going to pay attention to OVC futures now that Eddie George is the Tennessee State head coach?
A lot of star power there. And if it's any indication, what we're seeing from Jackson State with Deion Sanders taking over, maybe there's a chance with him on the staff, Hugh, and I know a couple other household names. Yep. There is always a chance that Tennessee State recruiting will be drastically improved. And I know Dawn is probably hoping that that's a much more forgiving road trip throughout the course of the fall than going to some of those SEC hotspots. Although, Dawn, I know you have a special place in your heart for those trips to Starkville for the Saturday morning game.
Yeah. Thanks, Todd.
Damn, I was going to ask you another question, but you totally distracted me with that answer. I guess I'll do it, Todd.
Always a pleasure, guys. Have a great week.
All right, see you, buddy. At Todd Furman on Twitter, Bet the Board podcast. You can check him out on you know, the television thing on the wall. Weekday afternoons at 3:30, Fox Bet Live. 3HL powered by you and right now, Will Bowling on 104.5 The Zone. Continued thoughts and prayers, Jason Martin and his beautiful wife as they await the arrival of their youngster. Is that a good way to say it, youngster?
Their baby.
Their baby, yes.
Baby.
Was chatting with him a little bit last night. He was excited, nervously excited.
I mean, this is like...
How long was your labor?
Yeah, 36 hours. This is way behind the glass here, but I remember because I gave birth in June of last summer, so it's right in the middle of this global pandemic when, you know, we didn't know a ton about COVID-19 still. It was kind of... So it was very scary from that standpoint, and nobody's allowed there at all, which is still the rule, I think. But I remember walking into the hospital at 6 a.m. that morning, and there was nobody there because either you're a patient or if you're having a baby, you were allowed one person with you. That's it. So 6 a.m., nobody there. I get in the elevator since I was an older mom, they induced me. Like, they didn't want you to get to 40 weeks. So I remember getting in the elevator and thinking, oh my gosh, there's nothing I can do to like turn away from this now. Like, I'm in. I can't get out of it now. Like, I'm about to have to go do this. And I just remember like talking about, you know, with Jay Martin and his wonderful bride walking in there. That is where they are. So hopefully hers goes smooth.
Our text strand with your husband and our ridiculous friends was very lively during that process. And then there was
like the first 20 hours, right?
And then there was concern. And when I say ridiculous friends. So for there to be concern, there was concern. Yeah. So I remember Harder texting at one point, like, oh, she's going in now. And I'm like, oh, she's going to have that baby. It's going to happen in like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's about what happened. Like, you went in and that was it.
It was amazing. And a
shout out. They're going in to get that baby.
Yes. And a shout out and all of my love to all of the doctors at Vanderbilt because they did an amazing job. But I, at some point, passed out. And
that's good.
Yes. Well, no, it was not.
You woke up and had a baby?
No, I woke up and I look around the room and I see nothing but really old doctors standing around me.
Eating oatmeal cream pies?
No, yeah, right? And here's the deal. At Vanderbilt Medical, if the older doctors, it's a teaching hospital, so they're constantly, if the older doctors are around you, that's not a good sign. That means something's going wrong and you need some help. So I remember looking around thinking, I never met any of these doctors when I first got here.
Yeah,
these weren't the doctors that were checking in on me. And my baby was out 10 minutes later. Yeah. So
these are the guys they call when they need to call these guys.
Correct. Yes. And that was very terrifying.
And so Hadley is 10 months old.
10 months today. And just rocking it yesterday, just rocking it. And she has a very strong personality already at 10 months. She wants to do what she wants to do when she wants to do it.
I love the picture at brunch that you put on Instagram with the Bloody Mary that's bigger than she is.
I know. You see her looking at it? Mom of the year right here, baby.
So I put the quote, Buck Rising said something nice about Dawn, so I had to write it down to make sure that I got it right today. Dawn doesn't have to put on makeup because she is naturally beautiful. He was talking about all the cameras that are in our studio, thanks to one Will Bowling.
That was very nice of him.
So I tweeted that, and he replied, I'm certain that will have zero effect on improving her mood about all of this.
And he is also extremely intelligent because he's 100% right on that.
This is the latest thing that Dawn has come up with about this whole 104.5 The Zone, whatever it's going to be called, thing. TV. I can go ahead and say that? Yeah, usually Will's not good with me saying anything about this.
Well, he's already announced it. You already ruined it yesterday. Oh. You're good today. It's already out there.
The 104.5 The Zone
TV.
TV, yes. So you can get it in multiple places. But so Dawn's latest concern is people are going to be able to see my facial expressions when somebody calls in with a dumb A take. And I'm like, but that's beautiful. Your facial expressions are hilarious.
It's accountability for the people of Nashville. Don't have stupid takes that require Dawn Davenport to react like she's just smelled the couch that's in the back of the studio.
I mean, Seriously, I try. I like to be nice to people. I like to be nice.
No, you like to fake it. Okay, you like to fake nice.
This is going to show all of it.
Well, right. That's good.
Good.
Now everybody will be able to.
Look, I'm currently
listen,
giving you.
This is what I'm saying, and this is why I like it.
Listen,
people will now be able to see the looks that you give me on a daily basis.
That is
if
true.
I need to create like a full screen graphic that says on the phone lines, and then it's whatever topic you guys want to talk about.
Mm, there see, you go. So you can protect
me. I'm a man
me.
Of the people.
You're going to protect
I
me.
I will adjust
so.
To whatever the people desire. The people in this building and the people outside this building.
Listen, don't people just give
matter.
In to her.
The people.
Don't let her walk all over you because she will come across the...
Am I a manager? Am I in a position of management? I'm asking. I'm not even...
Are you the digital manager?
That's my new title. Yeah.
Yeah. Good luck getting Buck to say that one.
I just got you a raise.
I need to add that to my business cards.
What else can we put in there? Digital manager. It doesn't sound great.
Executive is there.
Executive digital.
Not officially, but
performance.
Like the first time a boss said I was
content
a digital
manager.
Executive producer, I kept it.
Executive digital content manager.
It's like in the office when Pam is, she's asked, like, are you the office administrator? She goes, yes,
yeah.
I am the office administrator.
Listen, you can go have cards made for like $20. And okay, I mean,
I've got them right here.
Yeah. Digital. What did I say? Executive digital content manager.
So my business cards, though, are freelance business cards, but I have them.
Okay.
Has a microphone on it. Look. See, I will be able to show people this in the camera tomorrow.
He's trying to impress us. Did you see this?
Look, are we live tomorrow?
I'm very impressed.
Is 3HL live tomorrow on our feeds?
Yes, you are. Okay.
What are you wearing? Do you know?
Apparently makeup for the first time in 3 months.
Big E says he'd pay a subscription for all of this.
Well, guess what? It's free.
Wow.
Well, hop hey, on man. In.
Slide my DMs. Just
kidding. Are you going to make, I mean, seriously, $4.99? Can we all get paid? How many people looked at this today?
Maybe I'm not a manager. I don't know as of right now.
Thousands.
Yes.
The last time you looked.
Billions and billions and
billions of people.
No, it's going to be tomorrow.
I told
my
kids.
There'll be more on this out tomorrow morning. I'm going to put out a video as well that is this is a tutorial. This is what it's going to look like. But look, y'all can tell me on or off the air what you want added, taken away. If you don't want my face on there because I've got a face for radio.
You can do whatever you want to me.
Wow.
I was telling my middle kid the other day, I'm like, there are 3 billion in the people in this world that don't give a crap about whatever it is he was spouting off about. And he goes, Dad, there's 7.8. I'm like, really?
Yeah, Dad.
And so I looked, at, sure enough.
Come on,
7.8 billion?
Yeah, I undershot it by a half.
I love that your kid's educating you.
A lot of those people watched the launch of 104.5 The Zone TV.
7.8 billion people watched it.
Billions and billions.
Where are you going, Davenport? You ready?
I'm out of,
she's
see?
Standing up
tomorrow
with her backpack on.
You'll be able
on.
To see it.
She's still a hot mic away from getting fired for the next however long this music.
That's so great. I can't believe Ramon
you mean for
Foster.
The next like 365 days. Yeah.
I put that quote on Twitter. That's a great quote. I'm surprised that Ramon Foster hasn't weighed in on that. He's real big on the.
Your mic's always hot.
Your mic's always hot.
So is that Twitter finger.
All right. Coming up tomorrow, who the hell knows? 6 o'clock hour coming up next. Hell of a tease. Hit us on Twitter anytime at 3HL1045. You'll get astounding things like our poll about oatmeal cream pies. Do you like them or not? Later.
The answer is yes.